WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning here on this beautiful and slightly chilly for us Tuesday.
We're blessed, though, because rest of the country is covered in sleet and ice and snow.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And please listen or pray, if you haven't already been doing, which you probably have.
Yeah.
Pray for those that are really gripped in this really horrible winter storm, and already lives have been lost. People have been frozen to death. And it's just, seriously. So we need to be praying for those folk. This morning, and we have an interesting item that's been in the news, and we're going to be dealing with that. But first, I'm going to introduce my co-hosts, and then there's one who's not in the studio, and she's going to be the last introduced because she has a report for us. So I'm going to start with Ann this morning and welcome you to the program.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, and today is the day the Lord has made, right?
Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in
it. I didn't hate to steal your tagline.
No, that's
but it
okay.
Is, it's important. And then Keith Masters, my brother. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother David. How are you?
Man, praise God. Amen. You know, I'm warm enough anyway and feeling good. God's been good to all of us.
Amen. Shout out to my brother Walter up in Lake Gee Whiz.
Lake Gee Whiz. I never heard of that.
No. Yeah, it just left my mouth. Just left my my thought process. The racetrack. What's up by the racetrack? What's the name of the racetrack?
Is it
there?
In Florida?
Which one?
Or
yeah, Florida.
Daytona Beach?
Daytona.
No, the other one, the older one.
Oh,
Sebring.
No,
Sebring, there you go. I forgot.
Oh, yeah, just, Sebring, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Not too far from here, really.
No. And a shout out to my brother, JW.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, and from the wilds of Missouri, we have Stephanie Jacobson, and Stephanie's on the phone with us. She's going to report about what she's been involved in up there, and this is really part of your ministry, Stephanie, Bulletproof Alliance, and all that you do in the abortion realm and pro-life. And so, but without any further ado, Stephanie, number one, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Good to have you back with us, even if it's electronically, and tell us what you're doing.
Good morning, everybody. I am looking at about 8 inches of snow right now in Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
It has been brutal, absolutely brutal. I am true Floridian now, so I can't wait to get back home.
We can't wait to get back for you to get back home either.
Yes. Well, I'll be back there in a couple of weeks. I have to hit Michigan before I come back to Florida, though. So, I want to give a little update on what I'm doing up here because I am so thankful for Florida and for the people that are listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you for not passing the Amendment 4 when we had when we had the fight in Florida. Everybody stood up and did what they were supposed to do, and that was to defeat that amendment that would have put abortion up to birth in our constitution of the state of Florida.
Yep.
Missouri was not so fortunate. Missouri had it at the very same time in 2024, and they did not defeat it. And so I was called about a year and a half ago, the day after our election in 2024, and asked to come to Missouri and fight this with them as a woman who has had an abortion. And plus, I with the ministries that I deal with, H3 Helpline and also Bulletproof Alliance. Bulletproof Alliance wasn't even existing at the time. It was just a thought in my head. But since then, God has raised that ministry, and I have been able to come up here and be a voice for the voiceless up here. It was a 10-day trial, and it was a bench trial, so we did not have a jury. But the trial was all about the fact that they had won this battle with the amendment, but there were about 30 laws on the books, on the statutes, that had been there for 50 years to protect women. Now, this was not about abolishing abortion. This trial was not about abolishing abortion. It was about keeping the laws on the books that actually protect the women when they go in for an abortion. So making sure that your tools are clean, making sure that they've got gurneys or hallways that they can get the gurneys down in case there is an accident or something that comes up that they have to transport them to the hospital. Making sure the doctor has reciprocal hospital, so in case something happens. This was just about the women. And what gets me a little bit riled up is this, and I'm going to say Planned Parenthood because that was who sued the state of Missouri. Planned Parenthood stands, quote unquote, for women, women's health care. And it boggled my brain to sit there and listen to them fight against these women. I testified in the case. I testified last Tuesday. We had five women that sat on that stand and were questioned by both the state and Planned Parenthood on the stand about our, how we have been faring since the abortion or during our abortions. And to think that they could not see the humanity in these women that were sitting there in front of them does not make me... It's not surprising to me that they don't see the humanity of the baby that they can't see.
Mm.
So it was so surreal to me. One of the things that I recognized through it, I did not get to hear a lot of the testimony before I witnessed, because they kind of sequester you and you can't talk to anybody. But so I didn't get to hear a lot of the experts beforehand. All they had were experts. They brought no experiential witnesses at all. Nobody telling, we loved our abortion. We loved our abortion.
Mm.
It was all about the experts and all about their trials and studies and all of this. It's like, where are the women? Where are the women saying, I loved my abortion? And we have a few out there, guys, but I'm sorry. I've taken over 1,000 phone calls, well over 1,000 phone calls. None of them. And some of them are still for their abortion, but they're regretting it.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a conundrum. I sat there and realized lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. That's mm-hmm. all he's got. That's all the enemy has.
Yep.
Let me interrupt and say we have
to. The church needs to stand up
mm-hmm.
and be ready to fight no matter what it is, no matter whether you're speaking to someone individually with compassion about their abortion, or whether you're standing on a sidewalk, or whether you're voting in the, when you go to vote, make sure that you know how to vote. I think that was my biggest takeaway, and I'll end with this, guys.
You got two more minutes.
My biggest takeaway.
You got two more minutes.
That the court case, okay, it gave me a bigger realization
mm-hmm.
that abortion is a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It cannot be rectified in the courtroom. It has to go
yes.
through the church.
Yes.
I am calling the church out. I do not want to have to fight this battle because I have been fighting it in my family. My own life has been wrecked from these abortions that I had. Mm. But I will tell you that the church has an opportunity to be a voice for the voiceless. And not only that, to go back and realize that God is our creator. We get to have a voice that he is the one that can heal the wounds, no matter what your wounds are, no whether you've taken the life of your child, or whether you are in a divorce, or whether you have a wayward child.
Mm-hmm.
You continue to seek him, and you continue to do what God has called you to do. Mine is to go fight these amendments, to go fight these abortions, the abortion providers. But that may not be your fight. It doesn't matter. Do what you can, even as small as you feel like it may be. Please, please stand for life, stand for Christ, and just love him because he loves you.
Can I piggyback really quickly, Producer Dave? There is a March for Life, pro-life rally happening in Port St. Lucie this Saturday. Okay, this is huge. It happens every year from 1 to 3 p.m., and it's going to be starting at the Planned Parenthood in Port St. Lucie, 1696 Hillmore Drive. We need to come out, Christians, and stand for life. There's going to be local pro-life leaders that will be speaking about pregnancy resource centers, churches, politics, and law. It's a peaceful march, okay? This is happening this Saturday at 1 p.m., and I would urge our listeners to please go out and let's stand for human life, the sanctity of human life.
Amen. Thank you, and thank you, Stephanie, for reporting on that.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie.
By the way, you're the first field reporter for this program.
Stephanie's sure on the
field. I may be doing a lot more of that because I have a feeling that this is something that's going to take me out of Florida for a while, which right now I don't like it because it's too cold up here.
I hear you. Well, it's 55 degrees here in Palm City right now, which you probably would love to be here for that.
Yes, I would.
Well, we miss you, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me.
Get back safely.
Guys. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for doing what you do. And listener, now Stephanie, if they wanted to find out more about Bulletproof Alliance, how would they do that?
They can go on to bulletprooftruth.org. Bulletproof, BROOFTRUTH.
Okay.
.org. And go on there. And you can call the studio and get a hold of me as well. So.
That's right. Well, thanks again. Stay warm. And get back to us as soon as you can.
Yeah, God bless you, Stephanie. Take care.
Keep fighting the good fight.
We will.
You too.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, that was great to hear from her. And
absolutely.
She's got such a heart for this.
The Lord sends us to different places, you know?
He does. You know, if I look back on my history, and I'm sure we'd all look back, Keith's we'd never history, have thought history. We'd be where God sent us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes I have to admit, I went kicking and screaming. But I went, and God blessed me, and I kick and scream a lot less today than I did 30 years ago.
You know, they just had the March for Life up in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
On January 23rd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there were thousands that turned out for it.
Praise God.
When you look at what's really happening, where the hearts of people really are, and then you listen to the left saying people don't want this, this is not what the public's interested in, it's all a lie. It's all a lie that people are absolutely ready to deal a death blow to abortion in America.
Absolutely.
And the devil is the father of lies.
He is the father of lies.
And even if, you know, somebody is in dire straits in a pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
go to your church.
Yeah.
Yes. Opt for the life. Go to your church.
Amen.
Yes. Let them help you. Let them guide you.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's somebody out there. And that's why they decide, you know, they don't want the shame. They don't want the embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want, you know, some young girls don't know how to tell their parents.
Yeah.
You know, overcome that fear. Let them help you.
Yeah.
And let the baby be born that God has put into you.
Yeah.
You know, that God is created.
God is the source of all
God
life.
God is the source of all
and
life.
And there's no mistake when and a baby is conceived.
Amen.
No mistake.
Amen.
And the devil's the father of lies. I don't want to be one of his progeny. And I hope
absolutely
you don't either.
Not.
Right.
Mm-mm. We're going to shift a little bit. The main topic.
We're shifting in our seats right now.
Yeah. Because the topic we're going to be dealing with is Iran.
Yeah.
And what's going on over there. We're going to talk. I'm going to start us out with a little bit of history. Because it's helpful, I think, if you
mm-hmm.
want to know what's going on in a nation today, it's helpful to know their history.
Yeah.
In the same way, it's helpful, and I found this to be true as a pastor doing counseling.
Mm-hmm.
When I had someone today come into my office who was having issues, the only way I could really understand them is to go back into their history and find out what happened, points along the way. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We know that there's great unrest in Iran right now.
Yeah.
This is not the first time. We're going to be talking about the significant pivot point in their history in the late 70s.
And the protests that are going
on now.
And
yeah, I'm going to tie that all together, and then I'm going to throw it out. I actually can't remember who's going to go off from. Is it you, Ann? Ann.
Yeah, I was Ann just going to talk about what's currently happening after you talk about the history.
Okay, get more into the current events.
Yeah.
But so, you know, what is Iran is in the Bible, although it's called Persia.
Mm-hmm.
And the empire that is called Persia that we know about in the Bible, it was also that we call the Achaemenid Empire, and it was founded by Cyrus the Great, you'll remember him, in the 6th century B.C., so 600 years before the birth of Christ. He founded that empire. It became one of the largest empires in history. Interestingly enough, it was known for its relatively tolerant administration. Now, following centuries, now in the centuries after it was founded, there were several incursions by other nations, and eventually the land was conquered by the Muslims in the 7th century A.D., so which was about less than actually, well, that was in the season that Muhammad mm-hmm. got, you know, Islam started, if you will, mm-hmm. in the 7th century. And so soon they were into conquest, and they really haven't stopped since. And they also want to take your town. Mm-hmm. This is a little advance notice. The reign of Islam began in that time, the 7th century. From that point, we go now into in the development of Iran as a nation. In the season, in the 16th century, Shiism, which is one of the two main sects in Islam, the Shia and the Sunni Muslims, the Shias are, I believe, the more violent group in Islam. But anyway, from 1501 to 1736, the Shias were involved in ruling Iran, and they brought with them a significant cultural and religious shift. And then there was, in 1789 to 1925, in that season, there was a period of instability. There was a lot of foreign influence that came into Iran. And there was then a constitutional revolution in 1906. Following that, the Pahlavi dynasty took over in 1925, and that was Reza Shah Pahlavi. Basically the role of an emperor, if you look at how the country was ruled, but he implemented modernization and secularization policies, but there was a tremendous opposition because his rule was very authoritarian, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we could say with every degree of assurance that every Islamic ruler has been very authoritarian. So we don't see those things changing in Iran. His son, Muhammad Reza Shah Pahlavi, assumed the throne in 1941 and was ruling until the Islamic Revolution of 1979.
Yeah.
And then, interestingly enough, now track along with this, if you will, the reasons for that revolution were that the people were opposed to his authoritarian rule, and that even during this season of the revolution, in the early days, actually started in 1977 with the first protests and that sort of thing, is that he addressed that with force, and many, many people were literally shot in the streets to quell the revolution, which, of course, was ultimately their attempts were unsuccessful, and the Shah and his family went into exile in 1979. So that's kind of a brief thumbnail sketch, but I want to look at a little, just in a minute or two, to look at that revolution and what's going on in Iran today. And of course, Ann's going to jump into this with a lot more detail. But the same complaints that the people had against the Pahlavi dynasty
mm-hmm.
are the same complaints that the people have today. The fact that there's dissatisfaction with the autocratic rule of Khomeini,
mm-hmm.
And it's a theocratic, by the way. It's their religious rule
yep.
here, and the Sharia law
yep.
is the law of the land. And they come down very hard on those that disagree and have been. And you've seen in the news, if you've been following it, that what happened at the end of the Pahlavi dynasty with how they tried to repress it to the point of killing people in the streets, that's mm-hmm. happening again. Nothing has changed there. Also, the reasons why people are protesting is because, number one, the economy is bad.
Yeah.
Again,
very bad.
The authoritarian rule
mm-hmm.
And now entering into the behavior of the people and how that's so overregulated.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some other issues there. But so what I find interesting, although this revolution, and we hope that there'll be a change in the government.
We pray that, yeah.
But we also pray, and I think I pointed this out because as we move into the program, and you as a listener, I know you're thinking, well, how can I pray for Iran now that I'm hearing about this? Pray that the results of this revolution, which mm-hmm. will be successful,
yeah,
but it will not simply perpetuate the fundamental reasons
mm-hmm.
For both revolutions,
yeah,
that there could be a movement of God.
Yes.
And also would mention, prior to the 1979 revolution, Christians made up a greater percentage of the population of Iran than they do today,
mm-hmm.
about almost 3% back in that day. Now less than 1%.
Yeah.
Although we don't know exactly for sure, because there are missionary reports coming from there of great revival going on
yes,
in Iran.
Yes.
And so there's probably greater numbers than that. It may even possibly rival the percentage of Christians before the 1979 revolution. But the other thing we're asking you to pray for is that the Spirit of God, who is moving certainly now in Iran, will bring even more people to Christ.
Amen.
In this time of repression. We know the church grows when it's oppressed. And so this is already happening.
Yeah.
And so we pray for a tremendous move of the Spirit.
Yes.
To raise up more people for Christ there.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, let's not forget to pray for those that are currently in authority, and also those that will come into authority.
Yeah.
That they will come in as righteous people with the heart of Christ.
The church in Iran is underground. I
mean,
they have no choice. So we have to pray that church stays steadfast. What is happening in Iran? And, you know, we as Americans can easily, you know, just hide our heads in the sand and not know what's happening around the world. But what's happening to many of our brothers and sisters in Christ especially is horrible. I don't know if our listeners have watched YouTube videos of what's happening out there, but these protests started right after Christmas, I think December 28th of 2025, and it's still going on
mm-hmm.
because the value of the rial, which is their currency, went down. Did you know, I looked at it today, Iran's currency, the rial, falls to 1.5 million to a dollar. That's how awful it is. And that's why people started to protest in the streets of Tehran, which is the capital of Iran. Yeah. And now these protests are ongoing. And when I was looking at the different estimated death tolls, they're looking, we don't know exactly what that is. It can exceed 60,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
People are on the streets dead in body bags. And the regime, which is the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, is doing this deadly crackdown because they want to stop these protests. But these people are fighting for their freedom. Fighting for their freedom. January 8th and January 9th was the height of the protests earlier this month. And there were over 36,000 people that the regime murdered. Okay. We're talking about, they're on the streets and they got guns. They're on top of roofs and they're just murdering people left and right. You cannot go outside your home. and it's just very devastating. One report I read said the numbers make the killings the bloodiest massacre of civilians during street protests over a 2-day period in history. This is just outrageous. And right now, Iran is under martial law. And what the country also did was they shut the internet down. So these people are not able to get on the internet. They were not able to call their loved ones. And it's basically a genocide under digital darkness. For more than 400 hours, they shut down the internet. Mm-hmm. And of course, they control the media. So what comes in and out is all propaganda, right? They don't have real media there like we do here in the U.S. When you look at citizen-based journalism. And then the International Center for Human Rights adds that more than 350,000 have been injured and more than 10,000 blinded. So I just want to put this into perspective, because what is unfolding, and this is according to the Christian Post, I'm going to use their verbiage, okay? This was just from an article on January 25th, so 2 days ago. What is unfolding, according to the Christian Post, and what I feel in my spirit, in Iran is not merely a political crisis or a regional disturbance. It is the possible collapse of a ruling ideology that has governed through fear, violence, and religious coercion for more than 4 decades. You said since 1979, David, mm-hmm. is when the revolution happened. Millions, praise God, are openly rejecting Islamic rule. Millions. Mm. And calling for a return to a national identity that predates clerical domination. This is not a reform movement seeking cosmetic change. It is a people-led rejection of theocratic control. And this is happening today. We get to see what's happening. I never thought in my lifetime, I don't know if you agree with this, Keith, that we get to see Iran revolting and possibly the Lord shifting the whole political landscape there, where the Islamic regime can be pulled down and that a freedom can be in Iran, because they don't have freedom in Iran. And right now, I know the world is looking to our president. We have to pray. There is a brigade out there. There's a security. I don't know what the exact word is. I watched it on YouTube yesterday, but there are a fleet of ships out there right next to Iran. And just with the command of our president, they can bomb Iran. But according to what I read this morning, possibly Iran wants to make a deal. Mm. And I pray they make a deal to save thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are dying. Because we just bombed them. Do you remember? We just bombed them because of their nuclear facilities.
Enrichment facilities.
So they're already devastated and they're so stubborn. But the people are crying out for reform. And this is huge. I mean, there's uprisings in all 31 provinces demanding an end to the Islamic Republic. And I know that Keith can talk about this later, but what's happening in Iran, if we don't wake up here in the United States, the Muslims and Islamic rule is trying to come into it's already in the U.S.
Yeah.
And we need to be, as Christians, vigilant and awake and get active about this, because look at Mamdani that was just elected in New York. Mm-hmm. You got a huge mosque on Tampa that's being built. You have one in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, that was just stopped in one of the reddest states. They're coming in droves. And I don't know if you guys saw what I sent you guys. There's a Muslim day at the Capitol in Tallahassee being held.
I saw that.
I mean, this is just going to get greater and greater if we as Christians don't wake up, pray, and get involved civically. This is just something that we need to be aware of. This is just awful what's happening. But it's a good thing, because we can see the end of Islamic rule in Iran in our lifetime.
Mm, amen.
So, Keith, what do you think?
Why do people in the country, they don't give you any pushback if you talk about Allah?
I know.
But the second you start talking about Jesus,
yep,
the Savior. Mm-hmm. Who came to save all, right? The second you start speaking about Jesus Christ, you get pushback immediately.
Because it's a spiritual war, right?
It's a spiritual war.
Yep,
that's right.
Darkness versus light.
And that's why the church has to get involved in what's going on.
Yes.
That's why the church has to get involved.
And that's why, Keith and Dave, that's why we're telling you what's happening. You may not be as informed, but pray about what we want to talk about, what the Lord wants us to talk about, excuse me. And we're bringing this to our listening audience so you can delve deeper and get involved, like Keith said. Because right now, people are afraid to say anything against the name of Allah, which is a false god. But as soon as you say something about the one true God, people are offended. It's so backwards.
People are offended. Mm. You start speaking about Jesus, the Son of God, the one true God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The Trinity of God. And they start to get offended. And the way that this is moving across the United States,
yep.
Because of the one where I think they're looking for one more
absolutely.
World order. Right?
I agree with you on that.
It's the globalists pushing this for a one world order. And the one world order does not come from God.
Mm-mm.
That does not come from God.
Yeah.
I don't have all the information that's going on in Iran because of that 16 days, 400 hours is 16 days of no internet.
Thank you for putting that into perspective.
Of no news.
Wow.
Right? Of no news. That's over 2 weeks, two and a half weeks going in. People are feeling alone, left out, and without any help.
Mm.
So no country's coming in to help them for 2 weeks. And if you disagree, they're just killing you. And where are these bodies being put?
I know.
They're just lying on the streets.
I mean, you have mothers mourning their sons, their daughters, their parents. I mean,
what are they fighting with, by the way? What do they have to fight against?
I don't know about weapons, but their voices protesting, literally protesting.
Although Iran is one of those nations that restricts.
Right.
Firearm owners.
Right. So and you talk about courage. About courage under fire.
I mean, we're created as a free people. The Lord created us as free people. They're coming against who we are. They cannot take it anymore. They've been living under this control for so long. And I just give, man, for the, like you said, the courage. They have courage to do what they're doing. So those people who were out, there was like a big plaza that happened on January 8th and January 29th. That's when a lot of them got killed because they were out in this plaza. And then the guard just from the rooftops just started murdering people. And it's just awful. So
when evil has such a foothold in a culture.
Yes.
And we're speaking of Iran now, but
yes. And Islamic
rule.
Yep.
And when evil has such a foothold in the culture and it will not let go, then what evil does is it has to squelch the voice of the people.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come against the hunger for truth and freedom.
Yep. The hunger for truth force. And freedom.
And they control.
And there is no dialogue at this point. You know, and I'm just thinking of so many people I've run into here. When I was pastoring especially, and when these issues were been in the news for decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have people in the coffee hour come to me and say, why can't we just get along? You know? And I'd have to sit down with these people who allegedly were believers who had been going to church for decades themselves and assumed that they'd read the Word of God. But, you know, to give the basic fundamental teaching about what happens when people are not following God, when they're not in the Word of God, they're not desirous of doing what God says, following His will, submitting to Him, is these are the kind of things that happen.
Yeah.
And to be frank, when it's that egregious, a work of the evil, you can't get along with evil.
Nope.
You have to. Nope. Now, what Jesus did, of course, he drove
out
evil spirits.
Hot or cold. You either cannot be cold. Middle, cannot like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to just, you know, halfway in. Uh-uh.
But we have to be led by the Spirit.
Dark.
And how are we going to deal with that?
You know, the devil, Christians that know of God, and don't have a relationship with Jesus, do not have that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They know of God. Mm-hmm. They do what they want to do, thinking that
but
they're...
But that's an intellectual knowing, not a knowing.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Satan knows of God.
Yep.
But he goes against God all the time.
Of course.
Right? So, you know, the devil is the one that is fighting against God. And this is where the spiritual battle is.
Yep.
People might think because they know of God, they believe in Jesus, right? But they're doing what they want to do. They're doing what they think is right, not following the Word of God. It's a different road.
I would
than
question,
following the spirit.
Keith, I would question if some people know God, but the spirit, they're not following the spirit. Maybe they're not Christian. I'm just going to be honest with you. If it's not coming out as fruit, then maybe they don't know God. I know that we need to go into a break.
Well, no, I want to ask you, do you feel like we need to do a break now or do you want to continue?
I think now's good. What do you think, Keith?
I leave it up to the producer.
Let's do it. Let's do
well,
it.
I'm turning this into a democracy, okay? All right. We'll just take a little break and we'll be right back. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Welcome back to Biblical Response, and we're talking about Iran today, and maybe some of you have an idea you'd like to share with us, and you'd like to call in and give your opinion or maybe ask a question. The number to do that is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and I'll remind you, we'll take your call. Be as succinct as you can, stating your point. We will then thank you for your call and go either to another call that's waiting, or perhaps we'll have a response to your comment. Okay, Anne, Keith, well, wherever we were.
I was just going to say, as I was praying about this yesterday, because we all, you know, of course, we pray and we prepare as the Lord leads us, I didn't realize, well, I did realize, but it's been a long time since I've read this, but there's a prophecy in the Bible regarding Iran, and it's in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39. And the prophecy is against Elam, which is the ancient kingdom corresponding to modern day southwestern Iran. And in Jeremiah 49, it foretells God breaking Iran's military power, scattering its people and bringing disaster. That's what it says in Jeremiah, yet promises a future restoration in the latter days and setting God's throne there. When I read that, I was excited because are we today watching prophecy unfold in Iran? What do you think, Keith? Do you think we're watching today that prophecy unfold where God is going to bring restoration after, you know, what's happening with, unfortunately, the disaster and the scattering of people? But when there is protest, things come out of that that are good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even
right.
Even after the devastation.
Well, so, we don't... There's a lot of stuff that's going on over there, and one of the things, it's a major Muslim community,
yeah,
right? A Muslim
the
nation,
the whole country, basically,
is Islam.
Yeah. Yes.
So, as you said before, and that the religion for Christianity is underground.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that they fear being underground is it tells us that they're sidelined. It tells us that the believers in the rural areas experience less direct monitoring from being in the cities, but they are frightened of the authorities from the scrutinies that they face locally, where their friends or their neighbors or their family might turn them in. Just recently, a husband or a father, and I'm not sure which one, in the country, in the United States here, he killed his daughter because they were Muslim. He killed his daughter, and this is one of the things that happened over in Minneapolis that they got. But he killed his daughter because of the way she was dressing. It wasn't according to
Sharia law
yeah. or Islam. Or
yeah.
So he killed her. He killed his own daughter because of that.
Ooh.
So one of the things that we do know that goes on over there is that they kill people and they turn their own family members in.
Mm-hmm.
They kill their own family members.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the prophecies is in Matthew chapter 10, 21,
mm-hmm.
Mark chapter 13, verse 12, or in Luke chapter 21, verse 6, where it tells us that brother will be against brother.
Mm.
So these things are going on right now. And it doesn't have to be in your backyard. It is presently going on. And this is what is happening. And so what that looks like is it severe familiar conflict. It's often forged in this as a sign of turmoil, persecution for your faith. So this is one of the things that's happening as we watch it. Right. As you either see it or you don't, or you're paying attention to it.
Yeah. Well, praise God, because when people are in such control and darkness, Iran has the Christians have stayed steadfast, because now Iran is now home to one of the fastest growing evangelical movements in the world.
Mm.
We see that in China, right?
With
the oppression in China and communism.
I was just thinking of China.
You think of the Christian underground church. I heard something on the radio, and I don't know if this is true. I'm going to say that as a caveat. But it was those in China, Christians in China, that took visas to come into Iran for construction of cities. And they have started this. Apparently, Christians from China went to Iran on visas to do construction in the cities in Tehran, and they started this uprising. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true, but it was a very credible source.
Look at how God works.
Look at how, I know you got this big smile on your face because
I do.
Because these house church networks are strong, and I mean the devil sees it, right? And he doesn't want them to have their freedom. So what is happening in Iran? I mean, I'm sad. Believe me, I'm sad for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are dying. But I see what the Lord is doing as far as birthing freedom in that part of the world. I mean, if that happens in Iran, Keith and David, that could spread to the rest of the Middle East. God is up mm-hmm. to something. And we as Christians need to be aware of what's happening in Iran. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to pray for President Trump, because they're right there, right next to the country. Are they going to bomb Iran? I don't know, but we pray it doesn't get to that point. But to me, I mean, the regime has been so stubborn. So I know that people are crying out for freedom. So, I mean, praise God that he is in control. Right, Keith?
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and Mark, for instance, in Mark 13:12, he says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. And we just saw that. I do not, I'll tell you what, you could Google the Muslim man killing his daughter for wearing his dresses. But this is, don't tell me that the Bible is not alive or speaking truth, because this just happened.
Yeah.
Okay? And in Mark 13:12. And it says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm in the end will be saved.
I know. At the end of this program, we really have to pray for them to stand firm.
We will.
That has been on my heart for the church to remain steadfast. I mean, and the Holy Spirit's the only one who can keep them steadfast as they are when they see devastation all over them.
Amen.
All over, you know, so.
I can remind our listener, if you want to call with a comment or a question, the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
Yeah.
A lot of this in Minnesota that's going on
with the ICE protests?
With the ICE protests. A lot of this, which is going on, and Minneapolis, St. Paul, twin cities of New York. You look at the Muslim population over there and the rebellion that's going on. That's going against, they're trying to, do they have Sharia law in Minneapolis? Well, technically, no.
I mean, they're part of the United States, but.
I don't understand for the life of me.
But look at their leadership.
I do not.
Governor Walz and Mayor Gray. But I do not understand why
there are people defending against the criminal activity that is going on over there. And one of the things that we talked about just a couple of programs ago is that the Muslims are allowed to lie.
It's called taqiyya. That's the name of their actual official, it's part of their religion. They're allowed to lie if it furthers the growth of Islam.
So speaking truth over there is not happening. That's number one. They're not speaking truth. They're rebelling against the truth. You know, President Trump has rescued how many Christians around the world? How many Christians has he brought out of confinement or out of prisons?
I mean, I don't know the numbers. I don't know the number, but he's done that.
And, I'm not going down a different rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
But it's just, why is the argument so strong to get ICE out when they're trying to stabilize or they're trying to bring safety to a nation and to a neighborhood at the same time and to bring freedom into a nation at the same time?
It's all a spiritual battle. I mean, if you look at the intense hatred that they have for President Trump, and I don't want to go down the path because I know we're talking about Iran, but it's clearly a spiritual battle. And that's why we see the unrest happening from Minnesota to New York to Iran. It is spiritual. We know there are spiritual forces at play. Okay. And that's why it's happening.
And for people will still shake their heads and say, I don't understand. The basic understanding is when you're talking about Iran, we're talking about Iran, we're talking about Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And you can add to that any, I'll say, blue city for the most part, where there is anti-ICE, where there is anti-administration postures, is that it's all the same thing. That it's the mindset is not godly. So listen. If it's not godly, what is it? Okay, there aren't too many more choices. There's only one more.
Yeah.
And you have to get it in your head that we got to be, the church has to be praying for this.
Yes.
And I'm going to speak now to the whole generations of people that I've had to deal with who continually ask questions they should already have the answer to, but why we can't get along is because in that context, to get along with evil is to compromise with evil. We cannot do that.
No. I pray this all the time, David and Keith, because when we watch those YouTube videos or if we watch social media clips, we can be easily just, in my opinion, duped by just a video somebody puts up. And we have to ask Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to discern, because what we may see in mainstream media or all the bias that's being put out on the internet is causing people to be duped. I see it, and it's so sad. We as Christians need to be in the Word of God, first of all, because that renews our mind.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And we need to keep our mind renewed and ask Holy Spirit, what is going on? You know, what's happening with in Minneapolis, as Keith brought up, because that's huge right now. Minneapolis is all over the news. It's so sad what's happening, and everybody's being anti-ICE, and but Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, because we need to know the truth, and He knows the truth, not these lies that are spewed all over the internet. We need to know in our spirit. So,
you know, there's a verse in the book of Job. There's a verse in chapter 2, I believe, where Job, where the devil is meeting with God for the second time after he initially puts Job in distress with his family, he kills all the family, and then he comes back up again and he sees the Lord, and God asks him, what are you up to? And, you know, Satan says, I'm walking to and fro on the earth.
Yeah.
And God says, have you looked at my
servant
Job?
Yeah.
And he God said to Satan, you have incited him against me. You have incited him against me.
Oh, okay.
Right. You have incited him against me, which is saying that the devil is with all the issues and all the problems that Job is having in his life, right? He's looking for Job to turn against God and to blame God for all the chaos that is going on. And it's not, and Job refuses to do that, right? Job refuses to do that. And how many times have we done that, right? When we come into a calamity, it's like, God, why did you let that happen to me? But and it's such a learning book. But this is what's going on in Minnesota, right? The devil is inciting people against the Lord and against the truth and the righteousness in the spiritual battle that we're having.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to...
that's going on in this country.
That's not to downplay the people that have, you know, unfortunately died as a result of some of these protests.
No, but they're deceived.
But there's people who are deceived. Yeah.
They are deceived. Mm-hmm. They are spiritually deceived. They are spiritually bankrupt because they do not see the truth. They do not understand the truth. Yeah. And they are not looking for the truth.
And a big problem is those people are deceived because they're going to... let's say the news outlets, and they're trying to gain information, truth, if you will, from them.
Yeah.
Well, those people don't know the truth either.
No.
They are deceived. They're not looking at it from the spiritual standpoint that we're encouraging people to look at. They're not hearing God say,
we need to pray because I'm talking about liberals. I'm also talking about conservatives who don't see, because there are many. The Democrat Party, we need to pray because unless God intervenes, it's just going to get worse. You know what I mean? And it's bad right now. It's bad with the protests and what's happening. Nick Shirley's just exposing more videos, which I think is great citizen journalism. James O'Keefe is exposing more. We have so many people who are being moved by God to become citizen journalists because we're not seeing mainstream journalism anymore. It's not fair and balanced like it was when I was younger, David. You know,
that's true. Well, yeah, I was saying, just to say earlier, we said there's no political party that's cornered the market of spiritual blindness.
Yep,
we're all capable of just saying, I don't want to look at that. You know, for whatever reason, usually we're afraid to look at it.
Yeah,
and yet, what does God call His people to do?
Yeah,
again, we talk about this. This program is looking at events in the world through the lens of the Bible. Well, there's the lens God has given you to look through the life events, whether it's you personally, it happened just to you, or whether He wants you to look at a whole nation and to see what's happening, again, through the lens of the Bible. But you know what? You got to open that Bible.
I'm looking at
prayerfully.
I'm looking at John 1:5, and I'm going to go to Keith because I think he has a verse. But John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is I think the church in Iran is 1 million strong, if I read my statistics. And we need to pray that that 1 million strong light shines in the darkness of Iran, and that darkness will not Amen. Overcome it, because there's no way the light dispels darkness.
Amen.
Always.
Amen.
Always. We're coming to the point we really need to think about closing in prayer. We got about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And most of us folk take that long, much time to pray.
Do you mind praying, David?
I took a class in it in seminary. No, I'd love to pray. And so, a listener, join us. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. Lord, we praise you. We come before you. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you glory. Father, you are the only one that we can turn to for any reason, for any time of distress, anything that comes to us that causes distress or fear or anger or any of those dark emotions that assail us, because we're still human and we still live here in this broken earth. But Father, we know that you've called us to come to you in prayer and to give you our concerns, and that you will take them. You will move out of your power, out of your great heart, out of your will, your perfect will, and you will take our prayers, and in your perfect time, you will respond to them. You will move because of them. And we lift up to you today, Iran, present-day Iran, with all the social unrest going on, and Lord, all the egregious killing of people because they want to be free. Lord, because they want to speak the truth unfettered, Father, because they want a life that is not forced into a religious darkness. Father, they want to be free, and that freedom is what you've promised to all of your people, and they want to receive. They may not know you as God, but this basic fundamental desire to be free, you've given to us. You've planted it in everyone's heart. And Father, it is only those that adhere to the lies of the devil, where they can't even hear their heart screaming for freedom. And we pray, therefore, we must pray not only for those who are seeking to be free, but also for those that are repressing them. In Iran, yes, but Father, wherever else that's happening, we pray your spirit to move powerfully in and through that nation. We pray, Lord, that you would certainly bless the people in their hunger for freedom. And we pray that your spirit would move so powerfully that those who have the gospel, Father, not just in their minds, but in their hearts, would be empowered by your spirit to bring that word of truth to those who are suffering in the streets. Father, we pray that the witness to Christ would increase exponentially in this nation of Iran. And those that are already come to Christ, Lord, would simply be bold and in the spirit proclaim that gospel truth.
Amen.
And the hungry hearts, Father, these are particularly a time hearts are hungry. And when they hear your truth, they will reach out. They will grab a hold of it as a drowning person will grab a hold of a life ring. And we pray for this right now for Iran.
Jesus.
We pray you protect those people who are protesting. And we also pray for those currently under the thumb of the devil who have power and who are exercising it on behalf of the one under whose thumb they are. But Father, even them are salvageable.
Yes.
Father, you know their hearts.
Yes.
We pray you move in that dimension of leadership in Iran. We pray that particularly those in crucial leadership positions would be able finally to hear the gospel.
Yes.
And that hearing, Father, would your Holy Spirit would enable it to be planted deep in their hearts and to blossom as, Father, a rose blossoming in the desert. And, Father, we pray this for this nation, for them to be restored. Father, we don't just pray that those who are protesting would win and the current administration would be thrust out. Because, Lord, there's the danger that a new administration will simply perpetuate the evil that had been there for so long, hundreds of years. No, we pray for a profound restoration.
Amen.
At the leadership level of this nation.
Yes.
A nation that will look as a nation that you are leading, that will embrace your values and that will thrust out from the halls of their nation, from the lawmaking and the influence, Father, thrust out the practice of legislating hate and fear and darkness. We pray for a complete godly restoration of this nation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
He is.
Absolutely.
He is.
We pray peace over those people, over the nation.
Amen. Casting out of the Prince of Persia, which the ancient demonic presence has been ruling that land for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So I pray that our listeners really, you know, will do more digging and they will follow this issue and really keep the Persian people in prayer, because what's happening is just, it's history. It's historic in the making, David.
It is.
1979 was the Islamic Revolution. We could see the change of that. 50, was it? How many years later? 47 years later? I don't know.
Yeah,
math is
almost
not
50.
Almost 50 years later. We could see the change of a regime in our lifetime. And that would be wonderful.
That would be a blessing.
A free people.
And for God is moving them. And so we need to pray.
Yeah.
And when you look at the news, don't be distressed and don't be depressed.
No.
You know, look at it as a charge God is putting on you.
Yes.
As a believer, to just continue to pray as the Spirit leads.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to have to go. Sorry. Not sorry, because we need to go, but we'll be back with you next week. God bless everybody.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response.